PodNuts wants to thank everyone who supports the network by going to www.podnuts.com/Amazon.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Geeksters episode 161. This is a show where we talk about all things geeky. Hey, if it's got a computer in it, at some point we're going to talk about it. From iPhones to Jordache phones to the phone calculators, if the watch calculators, you know, if you're living in the past and you still have one of those around, to Android devices, comp sticks, I don't know. Things that Mitch buys on his time that he has a good time that he's going to talk about. We'll talk about it. We're going to talk about it.
TI-80 anything.
That's right. If it's made by Texas Instruments, it will be on the show. Bam! Bam!
It may be broken.
It may be broken, but it has a computer in it. All right, I'm Martin Abando. In case you don't recognize this wonderful voice coming at you, I'm one of the hosts here. Hey, but before I throw to my two man of the hours, I want to just remind everybody, go check out podnuts.com across the top and the sides. There's banners. There's, you know, do you get sleepy during the middle of the day? There's caffeine supplements. Do you want to have a logo created? There's one of those for that. We have podnuts.com/Amazon, which we're going to talk about a little bit more later. I'm going to save that little teaser there. podnuts.com/eBay. If you're shopping for anything online, check out anything. podnuts.com/try it out. I don't know if podnuts.com/Scentsy works yet. Maybe we'll get on that. We'll get a Scentsy, affiliate. So if you want to buy some candles, you know, sometimes I spend a lot of time in the car. Maybe a candle will do me good every now and then.
A candle in the car.
I figured it worked great until I rolled down the windows.
Oh my gosh. Anyways. Oh man, that's such a terrible idea.
So I took my magic PC dice and I rolled it, and Mitch's name came up first. So hey, Mitch, how's it going?
I'm hanging in there despite having this nasty summer cold. It's awful.
You sound, no offense, Mitch, but you look better than you sound. That's a good thing to say. I apologize.
Well, if I would stand up, you would think something else, but I'm not going to stand up.
Why? I don't. Okay. I'll let it go. I'm going to let it drop there. Maybe we'll get back to that.
No, I'm fat. See. I'm just huge. I'm fat.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, geez. This week on PodNuts, I can't think of nothing.
Losing weight.
All right. Hey, Tim, how's it going?
Hey, man. It's pretty good. This is show 161.
161.
161, man.
It is.
161 is a hexagonal. Oh, I can't even say it. Pyramidal. Hexagonal pyramidal number. And you know what? It's actually so complicated. I can't even explain it. I'm reading what it is. Some fancy math thing. But that's a thing. So I'm digging that. I don't know what it is about these numbers, man. I'm really not I'm not in numerology. Actually, like, I think most numerology is ridiculous, but there's, you know, math is an exciting thing. It really is. And it's a shame. It's like science and history. It's, you know, these poor teachers, they're doing their best, man, but it's like, and I would be destroying any subject. I mean, some of this stuff, it's so exciting, the stuff it does. I mean, it's like 161. It's just a number. It's a route. It's a highway. It's, Mitch's current weight. I mean, it's a lot of things. But I mean, but who knew it was a hexagonal pyramidal number? That it's go to Wikipedia. It's amazing. So every number is like something, something cool. So
add another 100 to it, then you would have my weight.
And another 100, and well, this formula has like ends and parentheses, and it's all divided by 6. So I think you're good, man. That's it. Take all your portions, divide it by 6. I don't know. It works out somehow, but Wikipedia explains everything.
They do.
Yeah.
You know, math is one of those things that I always enjoyed. I never liked geometry. I couldn't get into geometry. Algebra, I think for some reason my brain thinks in, you know, integers. I think of X's and Y's. And I think my kids do. And so I give my daughter I was at helping out with the school and doing some stuff over the summer, and they were having. They were doing some tutoring because they were trying to get the kids ready for some more advanced placement math next year. And so she brought me, she handed said, here, give this to your daughter. And across the top, it says, this is not a test, you know, but it's algebra. It's stuff that they're going to be learning. Yeah. And I was holding it, giving it to my daughter, just telling it to her out loud. And she was doing it. So I was like, all right, apparently you can do this stuff. And, you know, it was nothing complicated, but you know, it was a lot of negative numbers and positive numbers, and then you threw X's in there and the Y's in there, and you had to figure it out. But she was doing a lot of it in her head. So, but that's how I think. My son sits down and says, "You know, this is the volume of this little device," and I'm like, "That doesn't do anything for me."
Yeah, you know what? I am just like that. It's, you know, numbers. I remember when they first. As a matter of fact, I think I was in fifth grade and I found like an eighth grade book and it had like, it was a math book, but it had these letters in it. I'm like, wow, it's like, you know, my head exploded. I mean, and you know, oh man, that really spoke to me. I think what I loved about algebra and calculus was that I loved manipulating the numbers and taking these derivatives and all these things. You know, it's like you had all these like processes and rules. You had to go through the whole thing. And at the end, you got this, that I loved. I loved working through the process. I think the problem with geometry, I think it's the same problem with physics, is that I don't have any desire to take any of that and actually find any practical world, real world application for it. I liked working through all the whole thing, but it's like, but do I really want to do any of this to find the volume of the bathtub? Would if I'm in it or if I'm not in it. I don't really care about that stuff. So yeah, but I really enjoy that. So I actually, that's very funny you said that, because my son, he's quick. He picks things up very quickly. Good memory. Taught himself to read. Did it on the whole thing. But he was very good at math. Very, very young, very good at math. And I apparently way too early, I introduced him to the concept of algebra with the variables and these the X's and Y's. And it, like, where it blew up my mind in a good way, like, he just, like, it looked like he woke up from a nightmare. He just starts shaking his head. He's like, no. He was like six, I think, or something. But he's like, it was too much. It just overloads. So I don't know. He'll be all right in the future. Yeah, I love it. Math and all these things. It's very exciting. And it's too bad that I think in the real world, it's impossible to teach a class with this stuff and make it exciting every moment of every day. Yeah, it's, you know, this is the real world. It's, I know teachers try their best, but anyway, it's possible. I know it's out there. It's on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
That's what we do. I think that there should just be a Wikipedia degree. Public schools, you're off the hook. I think there should just be a Wikipedia curriculum and the kids just work through it, because everything, you know, you can learn everything from Wikipedia. It's mostly true.
Mostly true.
And at the end of Wikipedia, you graduate, and then you're a Wikipedia.
Yeah, there's a lot of those out there.
Wikipedia.
So,
anyway, are we? What's the show about? I don't even remember.
I don't know, but Doris. Speaking of math and things.
Oh, you know what? Speaking of Doris, you know what, those pet pills you're talking about there at the Pod Nuts, those are great for when he gets going on about that Linux, whatever that stuff is. He gets, Linux, I wouldn't lie. I'm not going to lie to you. No, it's all of the Dorisms. It's like, oh, give me some of the pet pills. They're great.
You must be speaking of one of the fine shows on Pod Nuts called Linux for the Rest of Us.
Every show he's on is Linux. It's like, Linux this. It's like, you know what? We could have like a talk about dogs and cats. It's like, oh, well, let me tell you all about Linux and how it affects dogs and cats. You know, it turns into a series. It's like Linux for the rest of the cats. And Linux.
I think that's the only show he's doing now, I think, isn't it?
Oh, he's everywhere. He's sitting behind you right now, Mitch. I see him. Door knows I'm messing with him.
60 miles so, that way.
Anywho, I'm sorry. I mean,
it's okay. There is a GIF. Is it GIF or GIF? Well, anyways, that he posted, and it will be in the chat. And I put it in the chat here. It explains pi, 3.14. Anyway,
9.2653. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyways, nerd. It explains that. So right I'll here. Have it. So, today was one of those days where, you know, when you think this job is going to be simple. And that job that becomes simple becomes not so simple.
Yeah.
So I had mentioned this before on the show. I had a client, one of the major clients, they have another branch, and they open up another office about an hour south of me. So 2 months ago, went down there with the computer, the printer, the monitor, keyboard, new wireless keyboard, new mouse, ready to go, ready to hook it up, done. I get there, and there's nothing to hook it up to. There's not. So, okay, I'll leave it, and I'll come back. So we scheduled another time to go down there, and that was last month, and went down there with my daughter, and we showed up, and there's nothing to hook it up to because the desk isn't done, the floor is not finished, the Comcast hasn't been out, their constructions or, you know, workers are doing everything, and so we can't really hook this computer up, put it on the floor, and walk out. We need to make sure the desk is set up. So, okay, let's schedule it for today. So I call her last night. Are we good to go? We're good to go. I get down there, and we are. We're good to go. Desk is there. Comcast is installed. They've got the Comcast router and then the separate Comcast router for the phone. You know, have you guys, I don't know if you guys have those on the East Coast.
Sure.
So, you know, so the one cable comes out, and it goes to a splitter, and, you know, the Comcast guy did tell her, hey, there's something in the network somewhere, and it's making things slow, but I don't know where it is. Well, that doesn't help. Okay. Well, we'll get everything hooked up. So we're getting stuff hooked up, and now, granted, this computer has not been on now for two and a half months.
Oh, okay.
So I plug it in, turn it on, and the managed antivirus that I do starts hitting it, starts scanning it. Windows updates need to be done. It's got to find the video drivers. It's got, you know what I mean? It's just turning a computer on after 2.5 months of being off. Everything wants to run something. Mm-hmm. So between that and it's trying to install the monitor, the new printer that's installed, I mean, everything. I finally get the printer going and it's taking forever. It's a nice Brother printer. It usually doesn't take this long, but between Windows updates and everything, it's doing its thing. It's saying registry. And now this has been, I'm thinking, in and out in an hour. I mean, really, that's the computers had already been configured with their email and everything in my shop. You know, plug it in, turn it on, make sure everything works, internet, print, awesome, I'm out the door. This would be the time for Mitch to implement a sad trombone sound. So I turn on, it's slow, and just as it's finishing up the printer install, which is a Brother all-in-one printer, the power shuts down. Just
oh no! Just, you mean like building wide, neighborhood wide?
No, like they're working on the bathroom down the way, and they're drilling and doing some stuff, and all of a sudden I hear click. The fan shuts off, the light shuts off, the computer shuts completely down, the printer's offline, everything's down. And I said, you guys just turned off the power. And I hear, okay, sorry. They said, the switch that we flipped was supposed to be for the bathroom. But now the bathroom light's still on, granted. Okay.
Ooh, okay.
So it's
I think they got the wrong one.
Exactly.
Clearly labeled wrong. So now I'm thinking, I've been here for longer than I expected. The printer's taking long, and I'm about 89% done, and the power just shuts down.
Windows loves that, too.
I think. So the computer comes back online, and luckily I think it was enough that it found itself, and it worked out okay. But then, you know... There it is.
That's go to www.sadtrombone.com. That's love that. Okay.
So you, get Tim. The computer up and running. I'm you know, the phone keeps dropping for whatever reason. So she doesn't have a phone. So I hook up the fax machine, hit hook, nothing, hit hook again. You know, I'm moving the plugs because maybe Comcast told her wrong.
Did this just get like the room with these computers, or was there like a server or routers? I mean, was this
just a computer? One room. Okay. In a kind of a leasing office at an apartment complex.
Okay. Okay. You know, because sometimes when the power goes out, you know, if like the modems and the routers and all these, if they don't necessarily all come up in like in the right order, I mean, those things. I mean, sometimes they're like scratching their heads trying to figure each other out.
Right.
And okay, so I didn't know if maybe you're having that. That's the technical explanation. You'll find that at Wikipedia. But I was wondering if you were dealing with that. But no, this was computer. Okay.
It's just not. Yeah, it's not coming up. So I do have to reset stuff because it's not working. And sometimes it's whiz working. And I finally get it stable and it's working. And then I'm like, okay, I can. It's now. I've had to cancel another appointment earlier today. Move things around. And it's not this lady's fault. It's just what it is. I wanted to get in and out, and of course that wasn't going to happen. Get the computer up and running. We open it up, and she can't check. You know, she wants. I forget that she actually has two emails. So because I have the one email set up, but I need her other email. So we go to set up her other email, and I said, "Okay, what's your password?" And she gives me her password, and it doesn't work. She gives me her password, and it doesn't work. She's like, "Well, we're gonna have to reset." Okay.
Did you try the one on the post-it stuck to the monitor?
Well, no, the brand new monitor.
Oh, you threw it. Okay.
So yeah, I must have thrown
it. Still, it stuck to the old monitor in the dumpster.
Well, there's no old monitor. I know. So now I have to pull up my laptop because I need to log into the Microsoft Online and get that. So log into my laptop, hook it up, get everything, reset our password. Now the internet now starts to act really wonky, and Comcast isn't finding her email account. It keeps timing out. So I have to reboot her machine with the new password to make sure that it's working, and then it finally finds it. Okay, great. Once that's done, then I have to resend the share item for the calendar because the lady was on board with the organization months ago, but the problem was she had no place to hook up her office. So, you know, it's just one, and it's not her fault. It's nobody's fault. It was just one of those days where, you know,
circumstances
where it was almost a domino effect where just silly things that in a normal day-to-day thing wouldn't matter, but you put them back to back and it turns a 1 hour job because it's an hour down there. I get there at 8:30. I leave it at 12:45. I have an hour drive home back to my office. So just, you know, just one of those days where,
hey, you know what? The last few shows seems like you've come in and said, man, I went and did this, and it was supposed to be a big thing, and I was just like, bam, bam, in and out. And so, you know, it all kind of evens out. You're gonna have some that rock, and some of them that you get rolled. But you know, that's just kind of how it goes. You know, I think that hard work and preparation, you can kind of make your own luck sometimes, but you know, you're still going to have some like it. You know, and that's fun. You mentioned that, and that reminds me of something that I was going to bring it up if I found a place to stick it. And this is perfect. But this is like actually a couple things. I file this under just stupid Windows things. Why does it still do this? When I unplug a USB device, why must I insert it into the exact same USB port? Else, it's several minutes as it's reinstalling. It doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, and I know it's not necessary because, well, you know, I remember the first time I booted up a Linux disk, I'm like, and I'm like, oh no, you know, it's like, no, it's perfectly happy. It didn't care what it was plugged into. It's like, hey, I know that, and here we go, and we're working. But it's like Windows is like, Windows is like, no offense to anybody, Windows is like, it's like a Teamster. It's like, yep, didn't get that right. So, you know, and, you know, Windows just kind of folds its arms and it leans back for a while and says, yep, no, this is going to take a while. You might just have a seat over there and we'll be seeing, you know, oh, we got break time. It just sits there and grinds and grinds. Oh, I'm installing drivers. It's like, why? Well, why? Matter of fact, it's just like a standard USB keyboard. Why are you installing any kind of real driver at all? Why does it just plug in? It's like, yeah, I can do that. Boom. And just off the races. Does that make any sense to anybody?
No. That was actually one of the things that took a long time was I had a Logitech wireless keyboard mouse combo today. Plugged it in. Mouse found. No problems. Keyboard, I wouldn't find the keyboard. I thought the batteries around the keyboard were dead until after getting all of her email set up and rebooting her computer a couple times, and then Windows Update says, hey, I found a Windows driver you may want to install for the keyboard. I'm like, I could have used that 2.5 hours ago.
A Windows driver for us.
And then it loaded the keyboard. Now I could type because I was just using the Dell, you know, cabled keyboard. And I told the lady, I think we need to get some new,
I thought you were using the on-screen keyboard.
I had to at the beginning. And then I'm finally like, because I didn't want to.
You know, that on-screen keyboard saved my butt a million times.
I didn't want to open the box because I'm like, now the box is open and the keyboard's out of the computer. You know, it's out of the plastic, you know. So I had to do that and I finally gave up and opened the keyboard. I don't know why Windows does that. And that if there's anybody from the Windows world listening, please send us an email because, literally, they're this far apart. Can't you just talk to your neighbor?
Hey, well, it strikes me as some, that there was some reason like way back when, and that's why it does that. And obviously it doesn't make any sense in the last six iterations of Windows, but it's one of those things that just kind of like never got fixed. I tell you, and this is also a very small thing, but why does Windows do this? I'm installing anything, driver, you know, software. And it's like, first of all, if I tell something install, just install it, please. Don't interrupt the process for any reason. Let's get the questions out of the way ahead of time so I can go do something else. That's kind of like an irritation with moving files and that, which Windows has gotten a little bit better about. But, it's like, if you're installing something, just install it, okay? Halfway through, this folder doesn't exist. Do you want to create this folder? It's like, well, actually, no, I don't. I want you to do that. And if you need to create a folder, just create it. What do I care? Do I care? Who says no? No. I was going to install software, but I don't want that folder. Forget it, Windows. Does that make it is once again? Under what circumstances would you not want to create that folder? Well,
okay, so I'm going to play devil's advocate on that one.
Okay.
By Windows asking you, do you want to install the folder, at least it's telling you, hey, it's going to create something that you, it doesn't think you asked for, but you did ask for it.
So C colon, / drivers / NVIDIA / and then a bunch of crap. Well, I'm installing an NVIDIA driver. I don't care what it does. I'm throwing that back at you, because how much crap does Windows do because it's been manipulated after the user has been manipulated? I mean, it's like, you know, honestly, it's like there's all, it's like Windows needs permission to let the little old lady, like, bring you a piece of mail that delivered. And in the background, if you look at the background, there's Hell's Angels in your pool.
It's like that. It's like the if you haven't, you can stop the show right now and go watch the movie Airplane, where they're frisking the old lady through the metal detector, but yet the terrorists and stuff are going through right behind them.
Right, right. Oh yeah, they were really giving it to her.
Being that it was the 80s, it was probably the Lebanese, as in they were the same ones chasing Doc Brown at the Twin Pine Needles Mall.
Yeah,
I think it was the same people. They came in on that VW bus.
It was the same. It was the only. Yeah, the Lebanese got a lot of work in Hollywood during the 80s.
during the 80s, always the Lebanese looking for plutonium.
Well, what are they doing since? I mean, I just, you know what? They're probably like, I don't know, teamsters. Just like,
hey, there's a place called Oasis, a restaurant here in Hillsboro that makes its Lebanese food, and it is good. So whatever they're doing, they could just keep it up. That's all I'm saying.
Wow.
Awesome. No offense to any Lebanese descent.
Listeners. You can peg within 3-4 years. You can peg the year a movie was made by who the bad guy is.
Oh yeah.
Red Dawn. Lebanese? Is it? Well, he's a terrorist. You know, it's there's you know there was a short period, Die Hard. It's like, I don't know who's our enemy. I don't know. Just make it like a some tall blonde guy. You know, everybody hates those people anyway.
Right. Red Dawn. Russians.
The Russians. Yeah, it's
the what's the famous hacking one, computer one, with the Matthew Broderick War Games. Russians.
Yeah, the Chinese. I mean, that's a
you guys got to check out Mr. Robot.
That is awesome.
Did you like that?
Yeah, oh, that is cool. So good. I gotta go back. So if you haven't watched Mr. Robot, stop the podcast again. I know it's been hours because you just got done watching Airplane, but stop the podcast again and go check out Mr. Robot. It can be found online in certain places. But that's how I got it, because I don't have USA Network.
You must have loved it when they were talking about KDE and GNOME desktops.
The first episode, I got to go back and watch it again. And the second episode, I really have to go back and watch it again, because I was working. That is a fantastic show. I just enjoyed that show.
I still don't know where it's going to go. I think it's only two episodes so far.
Right. And the guy, we just got done watching Night at the Museum. And the guy, the main character, I was like, he looks really familiar. He plays a kid in Night of the Museum.
He was in Band of Brothers, the other one, the Pacific, the other one did. He was in that one. He played a key role in that one.
I bought that, but I haven't seen it yet.
It's quite a public service that we do, that as you're listening to the show, we just keep mentioning things that are far more interesting than listening to this. Stop this.
You can go back if you
choose. But you really should go watch this, because it's way better than talking and listening to us. Matter of fact, if anybody's still listening, I suggest just take some notes and refer back to them about interesting things that you could watch after this show is over.
So I'll stop telling people to stop listening to the show and actually just say, okay, take a note.
We'll have a new show on the network called movie reviews or whatever, TV reviews.
That would be
just
fun.
Just put in the show notes. Just, we talked about this, we talked about that, and here's a list of things that, we'd like for you to review. You know, there will be a test come the next episode.
So there will be a test. Came across this article today, and it actually goes hand in hand with an email, but it also goes hand in hand with Tim, your mini Windows rant. This is from Make Tech Easier, and it says, how often do you reformat your computer? And so I thought I would ask you guys, and this is specifically referring to Windows machines. But how often do you
never
guys reformat? Well, they have a poll. They have a poll down at the very bottom, and it says monthly, at least once every 6 months, at least once per year, whenever there's a problem, only when I have to, absolutely have to, i.e., it crashed and refused to boot up, or it's never an option.
I'm doing it just to maybe try a different version of Windows or something like that, or usually I do it on a different hard drive. I have the original one. But I got to be honest. I think all the computers I have down here, they've been, there were three I had down here, they had the same version on for the last 3 to 5 years.
I don't think I've ever since I, you know, left my previous life and career and started this, I don't think, I'm certain, I haven't reformatted a single, and I have a lot of machines, you know, a lot of old junk. I don't think I've ever reformatted a machine because it needed it. I either got tired of what was on there, or I wanted to do something different. I don't remember it being, matter of fact, I don't think I've ever had anything broken here.
Well, what about clients' computers?
Clients' computers?
That's a different story.
Jeez, you know, it's like, I don't know, several hours of running scans and that, it's like, we're deep sixness and reformatting.
So that's because there's a problem, but it's never, but it's not a maybe yearly or every other year kind of maintenance issue. We should reload these.
It's not a scheduled maintenance item.
We as techs, or you guys, I mean, I include myself, you know, I don't do anything, but we know what to do to stay safe. We're not going to get infected. We're not going to get any in trouble. So really, there's no reason for any computer tech really to have to format unless they get, you know, maybe a little wild or something, start clicking on stuff.
I'll tell you what, I would if it wasn't impossible to do. You know, if all the data was actually stored properly, like in a different partition, and Windows updates didn't take 12 to 24 hours to install.
Thank you.
And you're looking at another 3 hours to reconfigure it, all the little settings for the user. You know, if the data was over here, Windows updates it forever, and all the little settings, you know, if all that stuff could be like easily, you know, just we have tools and we could do it. But, you know, I could see that being a maintenance item if it wasn't for all the other insanity where it's like taking a machine to a user and, if I lost the chat, sorry guys. If, you know, it's, you literally are walking in water. It's not literally, figuratively. That's a door thing. I mean, you're literally in quicksand sinking. Figuratively, you've got the computer hoisted above your head, figuratively speaking, you know, and the water's rising, and just as it's about to drown you, you set it down their desktop. And I mean, that's what it takes to get it there. You're like, and then they're like, all of my desktop icons are in different places. And you just want to wring them out like a wreck. Gosh. You know, if the thing is, we've talked about the past where Windows, it's like when you get like your little broken bones and here, and you get little aches and pains and all kinds of adds up over time. You know what? Once every 6 months, once a year, if I could just go through, just reinstall it and all that other stuff was just unchanged. It's where it belonged. Well, I'd do it. I would make that a maintenance item because it's like, man, if you just go through and do it, and that would actually ward off, it might actually fix things you're not quite aware of yet. It might fix things coming up. If it was easy, yeah, sure, it'd be a maintenance
item. Tim, you brought up a good point about it takes forever to get into Windows updates. Jeff Halsh brought it up over the weekend on his show. He was interviewing, I guess it wasn't on the call-in show, but the other show. I forgot who he was interviewing. But anyway,
let me Google that for you.
Using the Windows offline updater, I use that. I don't use it anymore. I did in the beginning. I mean, a couple of years ago, it didn't speed anything up. What takes the longest is installing this stuff. I mean, I got a fast pipe here. You know, it doesn't take me long to download updates. It's the installing it takes forever. And even if you have everything down,
that's an amazing tool. I'll tell you, Windows, installing Windows Update, it's gotten a lot better. Right? You know, that tool was amazing with XP because XP was a complete disaster. It would require you to come back constantly. Are you sure you want to do this? Of course, Julie. Just, it's like, I want you, I started, I want you to take it to the end. If you got questions, ask them now, because I'm not coming back here every 20 minutes to check on something. You know, and that offline updater, it automated a lot of that with the rebooting and the whole thing. Windows 7, I mean, it got a little bit better, and it broke the thing with the WSUS updater where it couldn't automatically do the reboot thing as easily, and so you had to kind of attend to it. And you know what? And if you're getting your downloads fast, that's a big deal. See, I mean, I've got good download speed here, but still, just having that disk there and it's ready access, I still think that I could install them pretty quickly. But anyway. Well,
but even then, I mean, yeah. I have 120 down or 100 down, and that Windows Offline Updater still takes a long time.
Yeah.
I'll go back because I want to answer the question for myself, is that I used to say I would do it every year. And now at the school that I'm working at, we alternate between the fifth grade laptops and the lab. Every other year they get reloaded, but they're getting reloaded because they may or may not get Windows updates correctly. The kids are thrashing on them. We need to do some updates. So they're getting updated because not because the Windows updates or because they need to run a little faster. They're getting updated because they just are messy. So we do that. But I used to think every year reloading my own computer to make it speedy. And I thought that was going to be my answer. I thought, oh, you know, every year. But now, really, once I think about it and I go, well, how often have I gone through my clients and said, oh, hey, you know, it's January 1st. We need to go ahead and reload all your computers. It's usually, this is really, really broken. We should reload it.
The thing with the kids, that's kind of the difference between, you know, the maintenance schedule on your personal vehicle and a taxi cab. In the desert. I mean, you know, those, you know, the maintenance schedules that you'd have to do everything much more often. It's subjected to an entirely different environment. That's the thing. The thing about reloading is that usually when it's broken, it's a seat of the pants thing. I mean, people know this thing just isn't right. And usually you can find something, well, this isn't right, and then you fix it. Right. And and then if you can't, you reload it. I was going somewhere with this, but lost my train of thought.
Well, CT Tech Guy in the chat says that he uses WU install, and that's WUinstall.com against his WSUS server. So, I mean, I have a WSUS server in multiple places as well. But you still have to go through the Windows update parts of the computers, and that takes time.
It does.
That's why we used to slipstream these things.
Right.
Slipstream disks.
Would you say you can't do that anymore?
I haven't tried.
Yeah, you can still.
I don't know. Yeah, it was always a process, but it was always really worth it. I XP them updates.
Windows XP, you could do a lot of things with XP that slowly have faded away. But I thought I would ask, and the reason I ask is because we got an email, well, partly because this came out, and I thought, let me see what you have to say, let me see what the chat room has to say. We got an email regarding FABS Auto Backup, go ahead.
I'm sorry, you know what, let me just say one thing, because I'll tell you what, most of my business is residential, and I get it, it's usually, oh, well, it's infected, oh, what's this, you know, I usually see, you know, I'll see the computer when it's brand new, I'm setting it up. I'll see the computer usually after about a year and a half, within a year, year and a half. Oh, it's infected. And I usually don't see them so much, but it never fails. Right about between 3 and 4 years, right in that window, the machine comes in and it's starting to show some wear. It's been used. Stuff's not right. It's infected. I'll tell you what. Actually, there you go. I'm answering the question. It's right about there. I'll say, you know what? We're roughly halfway through the service life of this machine for you. You know, based on most people are going to hang on machine between five, six years, or, you know, grandma's going to have it 8, 9, you know, but usually it's right about 6, 7 years. I say, you know, we're right about halfway through the service life. I said, I want to reinstall this for you. It's not going to cost you a whole lot extra, but you're going to be much happier with it. And they always are. You know, you get a fresh install. So I'll tell you what, for my customers, even if it's not completely destroyed, if it requires a few more fixes, a few more band-aids, I'll say, you know what, let's just reinstall it. That's usually a good time to go through it, maybe add a little more RAM. You know, just assess the machine. You know, is if a laptop or the keys missing, we get you a keyboard real cheap. Just kind of go through it and make it kind of brand new again for them, and then they can enjoy it for the. But yeah, right about halfway, I seriously consider, because it's if it needs a reinstall, you know, another year, year and a half, it's like, I don't know. There's still life in it, but is it really worth putting the money into it? I found it's a pretty easy sell right about that point. So that's, now that I think about, that's my answer for my customers.
So 495 people have taken this poll. 50% of them say only when I absolutely have to. 15, so it's 50 and then drops down to 15. Whenever there's a problem, 14, at least once a year. 10, it's never an option. 8, at least once every 6 months. And 2% say monthly. And I think those 2% that say monthly probably are infected and keep going back to the same site.
Yeah, that's their, yeah.
You will I don't not know what they win with doing. Bonsai Buddy. Just those 2% of the people, just stop it.
Yeah, their whole house is a sandbox.
that means there's, 24 and a half people who have taken this poll that keep trying to install Bonsai Buddy. 24 God. People out there, knock it off.
Stop punching that monkey or whatever it was you were supposed to do.
No, it was punching the monkey. So last week we talked about Fabs Auto Backup, and we had talked about me moving from a domain controller off into a local machine, right? We've used the program, and this actually email comes from Joe, who's local here, and I've worked with him, and we've actually used the profile, the app called Profile Wizard from Forensic IT. They do a lot of great tools, and this is the tool where if you have somebody on a local machine, you can run this app. It'll actually join the computer to the domain. It will copy over their profile settings to the new profile, and it looks great. It works really well. It doesn't work backwards. Spoke with Liam about that. He said it doesn't work backwards at all. So I used Fabs. And so Joe emails in and he says, "Hi, on the Fabs, when you back up the user and before you transfer them to a new computer, do you have to have the same exact username created on the new computer before doing the transfer, or does the created username, or does it create the usernames and such?" Good Thanks,
question.
Joe.
Good question.
That is a good question. So all Fabs does, it doesn't do anything with the profile. All it does is take the data, whether it's your desktop wallpaper, your icons, your favorites, your Mozilla favorites, your Chrome favorites, your IE favorites.
So it's not changing any names or anything.
It doesn't do anything with names. It's strictly data. So if you have a user named Joe, and then you create a new profile and you name it Martin, you can still use that same Fabs backup and put it inside of Martin. Gotcha. Because what it does is it reconfigures Outlook. Now, here's the thing, though. Outlook sometimes will keep the registry keys, so you may run into issues. You may go and need to go into Outlook. Well, no, it doesn't, because I did it without that. I believe the gentleman that I did this for, I created the same username, but the profile was different because it was jeffg.domain was a profile. I backed it all up, and I put it in a folder called jeffg, which was his new profile, and then extracted it, and everything was fine. So I think Fabs is smart enough to know the new profile, and it tweaks things around. So you don't, I'm pretty sure about this, you do not need to create a profile with the same exact name. You can just do it. But it doesn't create the profile for you. So you have to create the new profile, log in, and then run Fabs as a app inside that new profile.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, is that when you back up using Fabs, you can choose which profiles you want to back up, but when you restore,
I restored, I think you just point it to the folder that has the backups.
Yeah,
but I do remember.
I think you have to do them like. Oh, see, I don't want to say that. Do you have to do them individually? I mean, if you create an account of whatever name and you just point it to that archive folder, I don't. No, it's Fabs isn't going to balk and say, well, you know, those account names don't match. Those user profile names don't match. It just does it.
Right. It does it. Yeah. It does it. But here's what I'm not sure about. Fabs doesn't install any applications. So if you had Chrome on Joe and you install it and you use Fabs and Fabs backs up Chrome, and then you go to Martin and you put it out there, Fabs will not. See, I don't know if Fabs will balk and say, hey, there's no Chrome installed. But I don't believe Fabs will just install Chrome for you. It's not like Nine Night. So you need to make sure you have all the apps already pre-installed, correct? Or, I mean, because but you could be selective and not back up Chrome, and you could be selective to not restore Chrome.
I can't remember. I can't remember.
Because Chrome backs up uses the app data folder for a lot of stuff, I believe.
Right. But, I mean, if FAPS backed it up, there's no reason it couldn't throw it back in there. But I can't remember if it throws an error saying I couldn't find that folder, or if it just creates that folder and that data is hanging out there and it's ready for when and Chrome server writes it. I don't recall. I want to say that these applications have to be installed first. I don't remember using it in that situation, so I can't, you know, recently, so I can't say.
Right, because generally speaking, this would be back up the computer and then reinstall all the user's data and then put it back on there. And if they had Mozilla installed, so they had Firefox installed, but they never used it, or they had Firefox installed, that was their primary browser, and Chrome came in with who knows what, you know, maybe CCleaner. CCleaner will throw in Chrome. They installed Chrome. They don't ever use Chrome. FABS will ask you if you want to back up Chrome. You don't have to.
Right.
But then, even if you do back up Chrome, you don't have to restore it.
Right. You know what? I mean, I can't. In my mind, I wouldn't restore any data until all the applications have been installed. That's just kind of my process. So
right,
you know, because you're going to create data folders. Well, installing these applications, I would expect some of those data folders possibly to be overwritten. So I would install the applications first, and then restore the data from the archive folder. I'm sorry. What are we talking about here? What did something happen, or what?
No,
this is a question from from a listener. Or,
right.
Did he have a question, or did he have a statement, or was he?
He had two questions. He wanted to know: do you have to have the exact same username created on a new computer before the transfer, and does it create the usernames and such? So the second question is easy. No, it doesn't create the usernames.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I kind of like that went out of my head. Okay.
But the first question is: do you have to have the exact same usernames created on the new computer to match the old computer?
No.
But it wouldn't hurt.
It's well, ideally, yeah. But there's many, many times where I've had folders that I've backed up, and then I go to reinstall. You know, maybe after a period of time, and it's like, oh, I don't know what the I don't recall what the name was, and I'm like. I just call it owner. It's like, here, you're now owner. Yeah, FABS just went to town. I don't care.
Right. They have FABS has a forum. It's forums.fpnet.fr. And there's a lot of questions in there regarding moving stuff and problems with things. And so I don't know without digging through this here it is. So I found this screenshot. When you back up, it does list out the profiles. You select the profile. Check, Joe. Back it up. You can add a password if you want to. When you go to restore it, it says, these are the profiles we found. Which one do you want to restore it to? You check Martin and then proceed with it.
That's right.
So unfortunately, I haven't used FABS enough to go to have to memorize all the steps, but I do remember going, oh, I forgot it was... So point and click and
yeah, but you know what? As you're using it, it's like just chick. The GUI is very simple. I mean, for what it's doing, it's very simple, straightforward. It's like, wow, this just like it makes sense. So I believe that Fab is in my machine, just doing it, and he knows what I want, and it just happens.
He knows.
He guides my mouse hand. He guides in Windows 8.1. He guides. My fingers on my touchscreen.
I'm sorry to the owner of FABS.
Steve interviewed him way back when on an episode of Podnuts.
I think we should bring him back. Let's see if we can get him on the show.
Where's he at? Is he in France? I know there was something of a language barrier. I thought it was too bad because. He had such a great product, and I think I don't know if they anticipated that, but I don't think he really got a chance to Steve did his best getting the questions and he did his best answering them. But you know what, it's like, you know what, Fab, just sit back because all these techs, they're selling it for you. It's once you use it, man, it's just it makes such a Windows is a disaster. FABS, it just goes in there. It just The way I explain it to my customers, I'm like, it just sweeps out your data, and I reinstall it, sweeps it back in. And they're like, yeah. They can get behind that.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it does.
Yep. During the talk, Mitch had posted something to the chat. And so if you want to join us live, just follow us on Google Plus, and I usually post it up when we're going to be there. But he posted a chat to the live chat room, but it's how to slipstream Windows into your installation disks, and it goes through some stuff. So that will be, if you're listening to this after the fact, that will be, check out the show notes, because it will be in there. Mitch is still with us?
Yes.
Oh, I thought he was asleep.
No.
We have more correspondence. I'm dying to hear about that thingy that Mitch got.
Yeah, that's right. Kind of want to bring it up.
Did we have more emails or anything? Do we have?
Nope. That was it. I got more stuff to talk about, but I want to. I want to hear what Mitch.
Those were good questions,
Martin. I think I was talking to you about it. I was thinking about getting a nice computer, right? A nice laptop, and to have it hooked up to my TV upstairs, the main TV in the living room. But you know, I don't want anything nice there. I mean, I could bring up one of I got an i5 I hardly ever use down here desktop, but my wife didn't want anything that big up there. Because I had a Core 2 Duo laptop up there.
What are you doing up there?
Huh?
What are you doing up there?
Well, let me
explain. No, she don't want nothing big up there.
Yeah,
you're always carrying on about, you know.
Oh, man, I'm huge.
How much water you displaced the tub and all that, milliliters, you know.
By the way, anyway. Penn Jillette lost 105 pounds in 4 months. But anyway, I digress.
Hey, but that's what meth will do for you.
Hey,
no.
Hey, I lost 150. I lost 150 pounds once. Got divorced.
Did it? Now you need another sound effect with the drum. Anyway,
that trombone.
Anyway, so I saw him in Staples Sunday, I think it was, or Saturday.
And but Penn Jillette?
No.
Okay.
And they have this. It's an HP Stream Mini. It looks like a, not much bigger than a Roku, but it has four USB 3.0 ports. It's only got a Celeron in there, and it's got a 32 gig SSD, 2 gigs of RAM, which is upgradable to 16, and you can upgrade the SSD up to a 256. And, my whole goal was, I mean, I got the Roku everything, you know, and, they all work alright, you know, but I just like to maneuver with a mouse, you know, and, just have a regular Windows running. Anyway, and the thing works great. I mean, I thought, I'll see how it is. If I don't like it, I'll take it back. And, you know, I took stuff off, you know, like I said, it's a 32 gigabyte solid state drive, so you don't have much room in there. I think it had a McAfee on there. I took some other stuff off of there. And the only thing I put on there was, Malwarebytes. You know, I didn't put Chrome on there. I just want a few sites like YouTube or other streaming sites I go to. And it's working really good. I am so surprised. I think I'm just going to put another 2 or 4 gigs of RAM in it. And I might not have to do that because it's working so good. You're not going to install stuff on it because it's going to be, it's not going to last. You'll fill it up in no time. I mean, just doing Windows updates, it was 500 megabytes download when it decompressed. When it decompressed and installed, it took up 2 gigabytes.
I know, so it's ridiculous.
So I got 15 gigabytes left in there.
Oh my gosh. I did 21. That. I had a computer here, it cleans, it's like disk cleanup. And it's like, it found a couple, like 100 megabytes, like cleanup system files. It's like 2 gigs. I'm like, what is all this? Like, you know, cleanup Windows update files. I'm like, why did you download all that garbage? Now I got to throw it out. You're killing me. I'm feeling your pain here.
I wasn't going to update it because the whole point is just to watch a couple of sites that I go to. And I said, I'll get the updates.
Yeah, but you need to update that. I know those sites.
Yeah. And No. But I mean, I'm really satisfied with it. You got to post it in there. Yeah, it's $179. Yeah. I haven't seen it cheaper anywhere else. And I was looking into what you got, the Windows stick type of stuff.
The Intel CompuStick?
Yeah, the reviews weren't real. I mean, they weren't real.
Not so loud, I can hear you.
What's that?
Not so loud, I can hear you.
Oh, no, I mean for streaming.
They're coming out with an Ubuntu version. It's half the RAM, it's $100 less, and it doesn't work as well, but it's the Linux version.
Well, there you have. So, there is a video out where a guy put Ubuntu on this, what I got.
I'm sorry, wrong. Uncle Al in the chat wants to know,
there is a fan in there. There is a fan in there, believe it or not.
Really?
I was told it was. I didn't look at it. I can't.
I mean, that thing is like, it's like 5 inches by 5 inches by 2 inches tall. Is that right?
Yeah. It's got four USB 3.0 ports. It's got an HDMI port. It's got an Ethernet port, wireless. And it's got a display port on there too, if I want to hook up another monitor. It's crazy. I mean,
It looks like a hockey puck. I mean, it kind of has I remember these.
That Windows stick is like $150. You can maybe find a little cheaper than that.
Well, mine was free.
But by the time you get all the other stuff in there, you're going to be over $180 anyway. This thing came with a keyboard and a mouse too.
Oh.
Not wireless though.
Shut the door.
Yeah. I'm using a wireless.
Not wireless?
Oh, no. But they have an upgraded version. I think it's might be an i3, I believe. It's might be like $299 or $399. I forget. I forgot what that model number is. And it's got a regular size SSD. This has one of those mini SSD, the M2, that looks like memory. And but the other one, you can put a regular SSD in there. This one, I think you can upgrade to it. You have to get like a $75 cable from HP, and they're hard to find. But they got a slot in there where you could put a regular SSD in there. But you have to get that cable, proprietary cable for it to work. But it's fine the way it is.
That's cool, bitch.
Yeah.
So I guess, I mean, that's my question. You know, that is $1 million question with these things. Well, what's the interface? Now you're saying it came with a wire.
Oh, I'm Windows 8.1. Well, I'm sorry.
How do you interact with it? Now you say it came with like a wired keyboard and mouse, which obviously that's ridiculous.
I have a wireless keyboard. I have wireless.
So you're using a wireless keyboard and mouse. Right. That's, I mean, I, yeah, you sit fairly, you're sitting fairly close to that screen.
Well, actually it's, I'm about, I'm about 8 foot away, but the keyboard works all right, but I have to sometimes lift for the, I got one of these, it's a Logitech keyboard. And it's got the keypad on it. It's, you know, used as a mouse. It's all in one thing. And sometimes when I'm doing the mouse, you know, trying to move the mouse, I have to lift it up. That's exactly. I have that same one. I like it. Actually, for the most part, it's all right.
So this is the Logitech K400R.
Right.
It's actually not bad. I purchased one of these for a client. They didn't like it. I sent it back. But then after trying to use the mouse on the stupid on-screen keyboard for my Intel Nook or the Intel CompuStick, I bought this. And it's so much better.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's not, the mouse is not great. Nah. The keyboard's not. I mean, this is not a great keyboard and mouse combo. Don't by any means think that this is the end all be all. But for the price, and I think it was $30
26 at Walmart.
You know, it's, you get what you pay for, and this is a $26 device, but it works.
Yeah, it works. Sometimes, like I said, for the mouse part, it's a little funky. Even when I had it hooked up to the other machines, it was a little funky sometimes.
Yeah, it's
but the keyboard's fine.
Yeah. Well, that's cool, Mitch. That's cool. The one thing I had found out about my little CompuStick is that I had a cable, and it takes just a regular USB to mini USB cable. And the cable that I had hooked up to it originally was one of the ones that you get kind of free sometimes, and it's really thin. And I was having power issues with it. It wouldn't boot right. It would always freeze. And I thought there was something going on with the computer itself. I thought, you know, I just had to go to restore mode. I thought that the chips were bad somewhere along the way. I changed out the cable to a thicker one that you would maybe buy from, you know, StarTech, or you would, you know, get from some cable store, and now I've had no problems with it.
Yeah, I've had problems with Android before using cheap cables. They wouldn't work right.
So, you know, I've kind of done buying. If I get a cheap cable, and you can tell, it's really thin, it's really flimsy, you can just tell the quality, I'll toss them. I'll go spend the $6 to go buy a good cable at my local store that specifically sells cables, just because now that I've changed out cables with this computer up here, it's ran now for a month without any hiccups. But before, I was having to reboot it. I was having to go into recovery mode. I was having to restore it. It was a pain.
What kind of cable?
Just a USB to micro USB, just the same one that would charge your Android phones. But it was so thin.
I'm sorry. I'm distracted with something here. I'm trying to find what cable was it? What were you using it for? And it was causing you so many problems.
I was looking for the cable. It's powered by it. So the little CompuStick is.
Okay, that's right. That was your power cable. That's okay. Right. I'm there, right there with you.
And just think, it was just, it's, you know, this one here, even this one here, it's a good size cable. But the other one, I think I tossed it because it was garbage. It was so thin, you know. it just stopped. That was what was causing me problems.
This thing I got, this HP Mini Stream, it's got a regular laptop adapter. I mean, real nice one, you know, 20 watt, whatever it is, what it's supposed to be.
I saw that. The picture on the back of it looks like it actually has its own proprietary power to it, which is nice. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get better performance. But yeah, that's a, you know, with the four USB, the HDMI, and the dual display, would make a great, you know, a great media box.
So
you just need to put Linux on it now.
So the whole thing with, I mean, bridging the gap. I mean, it's the problem since day one. You sit at a desk with your peripherals using a desktop, as we have for 30 years, or you're sitting in the chair with the remote and the TV. So, you know, you want the computer at the TV, but you got the problem. You know, how do you interact with it? It's actually has a name for it. It's the 10-foot user interface. You know, how do you solve the problem of the 10-foot user interface? And that's why I asked, because I love Media Center PC. I love my Media Center PC. I love these little devices, like, you know, that. I mean, there's just the little Google stick that goes in the USB. The what they call it, the
Chromecast.
The Chromecast. I mean, that's, I don't know. Is there anything smaller?
There's Kindle Fire, these, Kindle Stick, Kindle
is it smaller.
I have the Chromecast,
it worked good,
but you know, you have to use your tablet, or you have to use a computer or phone or whatever to control it.
And see, I like that too. Hey, there's all these different things. It's like, it has a computer in it. It hooks to the TV, usually internet access. It streams video. It's like, it does all these great things. But how do you solve the problem? The 10-foot? I can't sit on my couch with a keyboard and a mouse. I mean, I just forget it.
No problem at all.
it doesn't work for me. That's not relaxing. I always ran Windows. I had Media Center PC and the remote, the Media Center remote, and the GUI that they built in Media Center, especially once it got beyond XP, once it got into Vista. I never understood why they just threw that away. I felt that GUI was so intuitive and it was so pretty. I never quite understood why some elements of that didn't make it into Metro, or what do they still call it? Metro?
Modern apps.
Don't even get me started. But it all worked very well. But I tell you what, the best device I ever found, and I never bought one for myself. I actually bought a couple that I gave to family or I sold to customers, but it's the Lenovo N5901. This thing is amazing. And I still need to buy a couple for myself. It's a really ugly thing. I don't even know how you describe it, but it's just not much bigger than a wireless mouse. It's a little bit flatter, but it has a full keyboard on it and a trackball. Matter of fact, there were two models. I think that's the one with the trackball, but, that thing was great because you could work it just like a remote. It was wireless, of course. You could work it just like a remote, but you had a full keyboard on there. It was a fantastic device, and it sold so poorly that you could buy them for, it was like $30 or less. You could usually get them when they were on sale. So I always liked the remote. I thought it worked well. But if you were working outside Media Center, if you actually needed to get around that device there, anybody that's interested in that, that's really kind of a throwback to years ago. It was a great solution, and everybody that I got one for, at first they thought it was bizarre, and within minutes they were like, this thing is awesome. So I kind of want to throw that one out there.
Which one is that again?
The Lenovo N5901 portable handheld wireless keyboard with trackball mouse.
Yeah. It kind of looks like a paddle.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what to compare it to. But it's a triangular device. But it fits your hand just right. The trackball's right where your thumb. It was a really wonderful, wonderful little device. It worked brilliantly.
Interesting.
Didn't sell well, and you could buy them so cheap.
Eight used and new from $15.99 yeah. on the Amazon.
But anyway, that was one method of solving the 10-foot user interface. I thought it was great. Not for everybody, but that's the thing. That every time I see a thing like you got, Mitch, mm-hmm. I love it. But my first thought is, where does it go? You know, because it's either a thing that sits there and I have to look at it, or it's, I mean, ideally, I would like it to just, that thing there, especially, I just stick it on the back of the TV somehow. I mean, where does it go, and how am I going to interact with it?
I like this thing. This
no, and that's, what you're yeah, talking about. That's cool.
That might be work better than that keyboard I have.
You have to give us a long-term review, because I love things like that. Yeah. I love how cheap the stuff's getting. It's so small. It's so cheap. It's coming with like actual like Windows. Not that that's you know a huge selling point, but I don't know. Could we have you know? Could they have sold that with Vista on it? Sure. Nothing ran Vista.
No,
they had supercomputers down at the Pentagon that couldn't run Vista when it first came out.
That's sad. That's it. So in great listener fashion, our chat room has been just on it today. CT Tech Guy. Tim, you don't need to go back and read any of the stuff that I've been talking about you on there.
That's all right. I actually checked out a while ago to watch Mr. Robot.
Oh, okay. CT Tech Guy in the chat room asked a couple questions, and this is a great segue. It's as if he just alley-ooped it for me. He wanted to know whether or not Windows 10 offers will be one of his... So if he has got Windows 7 Pro, can he get Windows 10 Pro? And I quickly did some Google Foo, and there's a site that CNET came out with, and it says, which edition of Windows 10 will you get for free? And so, if you're running Windows 7, for those of you who are currently running Windows 7 Starter, Windows 7 Home Basic, or Windows 7 Home Premium, you will be upgraded to Windows 10 Home. For those of you running Windows 7 Pro or Windows 7 Ultimate, will be upgraded to Windows 10 Pro. So, now Windows 8. If you're running Windows 8.1, the Standard Edition, you will receive Windows 10 Home. And those of you running Windows 8.1 Pro or Windows 8.1 Pro for students will receive Windows 10 Pro on the mobile phone. If you're running Windows Phone 8.1, you will get Windows 10 Mobile. And then he says, crap, can you suppress that message to end users? And that was on my list, actually, to talk about that. We mentioned this article on episode 159, so only two episodes ago. It's from How To Geek, and it says, how do you disable that Windows 10 tray icon?
Oh my gosh, I hate that thing. I want to punch the screen.
What got me thinking about this was, if you go and you register for Windows 10, if you are using that little icon and you go and you register it for it, and I've heard a couple techs say they're telling all their clients, yes, click on it and register for Windows 10. It's free, and here my opinion. One, it's free. Why do you need to register it? I see no reason in registering it. The next thing that thinks in my head is that if you're registering for it and you're telling them, yes, go ahead, when it releases, is it going to be pushed out automatically as an upgrade? It almost sounds like to me that if you register for it, come release date at the end of this month, it's going to be an upgrade. One day you're going to come in and all of a sudden you now have Windows 10. I would rather hold off and wait a little bit. Windows has never been great on, early adoption, getting it out there and making everything work. Yes, it's still running the Windows 8 kernel. So if your printer and your fax machines and your, your Windows media devices and your CAT scanner thing works on Windows 8.1, chances are it's going to work on Windows 10. But I'm still very alert. So this application. How to remove that little icon at the bottom of the thing.
As a tech, don't you want a couple weeks with it before your customers get it, just so you can answer their questions? Yeah. And you know, when stuff breaks, you've already read about the news. I mean, obviously, come on. That's you don't want anything pushed out to the customers. I'm just kind of stating what everybody knows, but no, that's... So anyway, what happens when you register? Does that thing go away, or does everything melt down?
I would assume that it goes away, but I also assume that... No,
I registered with all of them. It's still there. You can hide it, the easiest way, or you have to actually uninstall that update for it to go away. That's
Well, is there an update you can uninstall to make it go away?
Yeah, you'll see it in Windows. I don't know what the number is. You have to install that and hide it so it doesn't come back. But
I think it's KB3055583.
Anybody else? You're stuttering.
Yeah, your audio is messing up there.
I think it's really him. Sorry. Yeah,
it is.
Well, there was a couple fives. There was a couple fives in there. So KB Kilo Bravo 3035583.
Oh, that's an easy fix then.
But this tells you how to get rid of it. I
still don't think. I think you're going to have some kind of choice. We'll have to wait and see. We only got 22 days. Yeah, I mean, when it comes out, it's going to ask you if it wants to update. There's another site out there. It tells you how to put it in an ISO file too. Where did I see that at?
Steve Ballmer is going to show up and eat my screen, and then Windows 10. That's what happens.
Oh, he'll be throwing basketballs now.
So, I personally am going to go work on that, but I am not telling people to register it. Uncle Al in the chat said, so the free upgrade is only good for a year. Yes. You have a year to upgrade your devices for free.
Your audio, Martin.
My audio?
Yeah, it's...
Sorry. My kids are probably...
It's like an internet thing or something.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll be quiet now.
No.
No, I can take a hint.
No,
you already told them the chat rooms. I just go on and on.
No, it sounds like an internet problem.
Something. All right.
Could be on my
We talked about prime numbers earlier. I'm going to talk about prime numbers again.
Yeah.
Prime Day is coming up. This is for Amazon Prime members. It says Prime Day is a one-day shopping event on July 15th, 2015, with more deals than Black Friday. Prime members can shop exclusive deals from electronics, toys, videos, games, movies, clothing.
He's laughing at you.
Is it bad?
Wait, it sounds like...
Machine gun.
Well, no, it sounds like you've been, if we get a good beat behind you, we could dance to it. It's like a mix.
Some rap music, I don't know.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyways, it's like, they're scratching Martin.
Max Headroom.
All right. Anyways, check out that. And Tim, here, I'll let you talk about. Then you talk about the next one.
The next. Well, I don't.
Do you know about that one?
The next what? I don't even know what your. Is there?
IT jetpack.
Oh, okay. So there's all these little things all over the place. I gotta click this and click that.
Oh my gosh.
I'll hold your hand. No, I'm not familiar enough with that too. Wait, is this a
it's Jeff Howes' thing.
You better do this. I don't even understand what was the question? Just go ahead and scratch it up. It's
all right.
We weren't laughing at you.
So podnuts.com/Amazon for the Prime, you're gonna get some good deals that you need. Some of it comes back to Podnuts. Okay. IT Jetpack. This is hosted by Jeff Hallish. It's by Instant House Call. And it's gone on now for the last two Mondays. I believe I mentioned it last week. Yesterday, I get up. But yet, I got up anyways. Well, it's 6 o'clock in the morning.
It's not your fault, Martin. I think you need to run Linux.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what them kids are doing with that 100 gigs down, but you better go check on them.
All right, check out IT Jetpack. I'm not going to talk about it because it's bad. I mean, it's good. I'm talking bad.
Your audio is compromised. Not IT Jetpack is good.
Okay, that's it then.
That's how I understand it. Hey, real quick, I got a couple things I'd like to mention. Okay. Isn't that's always how it starts. Like, here he goes for 15 minutes. I have a couple, and actually I'm doing with this specifically, but a couple tips and tricks to help you get along if you got a device, tablet, phone, with a broken digitizer. So the screen generally is working okay, but just the touch bit. A lot of times those things break. A lot of times the touch it'll continue to work on portions of the screen. So if you're in that situation, especially a tablet, maybe only the top half works, bottom half the sides, whatever. Eventually that is probably going to fail 100%. But in the meantime, before it's fixed, a couple tips and tricks just to help you use it. First of all is make sure that auto rotate is enabled. I've had devices here where If it's a major pet peeve for you and you can't stand auto-rotate, well, okay, don't enable it just for fear you're eventually going to break your screen. But I always have it enabled, and it's real handy because, once you're in there, if, for example, with my tablet, the bottom half does not work. Well, by rotating the thing, around and around, I can usually click all the buttons that I need to get where I'm going. Another thing is this great app that I found, and I've been using it for, I've probably used it 4 or 5 months. And, what it is, I need to bring it up. What it does is that on this tablet, the bottom half of the screen is broken. So what happens is that, like I said, you can rotate, but there are certain applications for whatever ridiculous reason will not rotate. So as you rotate the screen around, even if rotate is enabled, they will stay in, portrait mode or whatever. And so you're kind of stuck. You don't have the back button. You don't have the home button. And so what are you going to do? I found this great app. It works fantastic. My apps, and it is, sorry, I got ahead of myself. I did not have this ready. It is called, it's in the App Store. What it does is it actually throws buttons up, and you can move the buttons around, but it just mimics the soft keys that you have. Oh man, I'm actually embarrassed. Here it is. Handy Soft Keys. Installing that, what you do is after that's installed, you do have to go into System Settings, Services. You have to enable it as a service reboot. Once it comes back up, what it does is it actually has a little spot wherever you choose to put it, but by default it puts it in the middle of the screen to the right side. It disappears, but if you need one of those soft keys, you just tap that area, it pops out a little tiny disc, and on that you have your back button, your home button, and so on. Really, really handy, really useful, and that's been a lifesaver. Like I said, a couple applications I have that when that rotate is enabled, but for whatever reason the application running does not allow it, you can bring those up, or you can at least get back to your home screen that way. The third thing, and this is a major, major thing. I think that every device should come with one of these, and that is a what do they call it? You see, I'm really prepared. I had the stuff on just coming off the top of my list. Help me out. It's a
But my audio apparently is really bad.
Oh, it's really cool.
I mean, Star Wars is coming out soon, so it's kind of appropriate.
Is it Yamit?
Oh my gosh, this is like so ridiculous. What is the cable? I've completely drawn a blank. Plug it into the micro USB on the device, and at the end of it, it allows you to connect a USB device. That is a something 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 cable. It's an abbreviation. Martin's bringing it up. Chat room's gonna kill it. I'm feeling it. What it does? Yes, that is. Help me out. Help me out, chat room. Because I don't have it in front of me. It's
Cody's yelling at his computer right now.
That to me is a magical device. It's a cable. It lets you, because your device is a USB peripheral. Peripheral. I've said it wrong. That's a peripheral. It plugs into things.
OTG cable.
OTG. Thank you. And that stands for on the go. On the go. Which is silly. It then lets you connect peripherals to it. And so, in the example of your broken screen, you get your tablet, you plug that OTG cable in it, you plug your mouse, the wired mouse into that, or wireless mouse, boom, you're off the races. Or and I'll tell you what, then I start, once I saw that, I mean, my eyes lit up, and I'm like, wow, this thing's magic. Let's see what I can plug into it that doesn't work. And it was stunning how much stuff I could plug into it, and it's, it wasn't installing drivers for 15 minutes. It was just like, yeah, man, I can do that. And so I had an old keyboard from a one of those Macs. It looked like a thing you'd sit in front of and put makeup on. But it had the it had the keyboard with the single cable USB cable that come out to. But then it had a spot where you could plug in the mouse and the Dell keyboards like that too. Man, I was plugging keyboards into that thing with all kinds of flash drives and mice and all. It was stunning how much things I could plug into my tablet. So OTG cable. I tell you, every device should come with one of these. It was amazing what it could do. So if auto rotates and enabled, installing that app that I mentioned, so you can kind of mimic your soft keys, and if you have an OTG cable, you can actually hook up some hardware. And the last thing is that there are some really great remote desktop type software that you can install. That's something that maybe would be helpful if you had installed ahead of time. I mean, who's going to do that unless you use it all the time? Maybe those things I mentioned kind of bridge the gap, but those are some things that you can do that you can at least use the device, because I know we live out of these things. It has everything you need, and it might be good, at least in a pinch, before you get the thing fixed to at least have some access, some way into it. Those are things that I found that should help bridge that gap. And that's from my experience. I didn't just Google some list somewhere. Those get the Tim Bauermeister seal of approval. And I'm just going on and on and on. Like Martin loves it when I go on and on. I guess we were laughing at him. He's not going to say anything now. But anyway, that's what I had for tonight. I did want to throw that out there.
Cool. Do I still sound bad?
Not right now.
Okay. Well, since I don't sound bad right this moment, Mitch, if you want to send us an email or voicemail,
I'm sorry.
Did I catch you off guard?
You did, but go ahead. I'm searching for information. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm called up.
You ready?
Yes.
All right. Mitch, if people want to send us an email or voicemail, what's the best way they can do that?
Email us at geeksers@podnos.com and send us your voicemails, which it's been, oh my gosh, a long time since we had any. I might have to call in sometime. 707-6-PODNUT. That's 707-676-3688. Something like that. Okay.
Sorry, I just got a... Being that this is a tech show and, you know, we're techs, I just got a text from a customer that says, confirm navigation, wait, contact tech support immediately, 1-877-926, Norton online scan with a number on it. It's a web page. I have a feeling somebody clicked on something. So, anyways, that's my next call.
Phone number you just put out there?
People want to get hold of you, what's the best way to... What
was that number you just said?
877.
No, that phone number, that from that text.
Right, 877.
Yeah.
7492.
What phone number is that?
I don't know.
What? Well, we shouldn't just put random phone numbers out there. Maybe it's
this is one of those, wait, your computer's been infected by Norton, and call this number to get it cleaned up.
I think it invaded your mic.
Well, that's even worse, putting illegitimate phone numbers. That's a number people should not call, right?
Right, don't call them.
Okay, but, all right. That's what I was looking for.
What was that about, dude? What was that about?
Sorry, I must have.
He's trying to imitate the way you're sounding.
Tim, if people don't.
Oh, he's gone. He's gone. He was actually speaking. Hey, folks, if you want to get a hold of me, I go on and on because my man here, he don't even. He's tall. His mouth moves. Nothing comes out. I'm Tim Bauermeister from the G+. That's where you'll find me. Nobody's ever found me there. I like it. It's nice and quiet. I go and hide there. But yeah, hey, thanks for everybody for listening. I really appreciate all of you. Our chat's awesome. The guys that come out, you're great. This was great tonight. I love you guys, man. Really, really appreciate you guys. But I have fun with Martin, and that's all it is. Good fun. And Mitch, I hope you feel better, pal.
Thank you. Are we saying goodbye? Is that it?
Martin, wrap it up, pal. He's giving a thumbs up. Okay, so hey, that was our show. That was 161. It's done. And hey, babies, have a great fiscal week. Dang, I'm going to mess it up. Have a very gruntled fiscal week.
Bye.